To all the women in my life, Laura, Ashley, Alexa, and Amanda, who put up with my silly antics, yet remind me every day of how lucky I am to enjoy their love. Forward. Scott Cooper's Secrets of Sand Hill Road, Venture Capital and How to Get It, is motivated by the desire to democratize opportunity. It demystifies venture capital, laying out how this crucial part of the startup ecosystem works for anyone who picks it up. It examines the VC startup lifecycle from every angle, including how VCs decide where to invest, how to pitch, and all the many, many legal and financial details and players involved in forming and growing a startup. Its exposition of the term sheet alone makes it worth far more than its cover price, and I wish I'd had it available to me when I was first looking for startup funding. It understands that hard decisions sometimes have to be made and that deals can be confusing, and ends with a look at the IPO process. All of this information is presented as a means of reframing the relationship between startups and their investors as a true partnership rather than an uneasy alliance. Scott has seen the process from both sides of the table, as a startup executive and as an investor, and he's distilled his experiences and his perspective into an accessible, straightforward guide. Its purpose is to help build on the progress that's already been made in taking entrepreneurship from a career path open to the few and the privileged to one that's open to anyone with an idea and the will to see it to fruition. This is the most urgent obligation of the startup movement as a whole as we work to help build a more equitable society. But it also has huge implications for the continuing economic success and survival of our country, where new businesses account for almost all net new job creation and nearly 20% of gross job creation overall. Leaders like Scott are moving us all closer to fulfilling that obligation. For most of the 20th century, entrepreneurship wasn't seen as a career. It was more like a path followed by people who didn't fit into one of the traditional professions open to them and could afford to do something different. Although some succeeded, being an entrepreneur was as much a curse, or maybe more of one, as an exciting opportunity. Even many initially successful entrepreneurs ended their careers in poverty or were forcibly removed from their creations. Now, though, conditions favor entrepreneurs. Barriers to entry are being reduced everywhere thanks to the semiconductor revolution, the rise of globalization, and the influx of new talent into every industry and sector. Think about this. Venture-backed companies now spend 44% of the entire R&D budget for American public companies. The 665 public companies that are VC-backed make up a fifth of the total market capitalization of public companies. They employ 4 million people. Those are significant numbers, but I believe this is just the beginning. The startup movement can and must grow to have a much larger impact. When we pour so much money into such a limited range of companies, we can't effectively tackle the challenges we face. That's why one of my favorite things about this book is the way it so clearly parses out the incentives and systems behind venture capital. This will help all entrepreneurs navigate the maze of venture investors and decipher their behavior. The system works the way it does for a reason, and now that reason is comprehensible. But there are other larger lessons to glean as well. As you'll learn in this book, most venture firms invest money on behalf of larger institutional asset managers, like university endowments and retirement funds. Most of these asset managers use a formula to determine how much money to allocate to different types of investments, including the high-risk, highly illiquid sector of venture. This approach to portfolio construction was pioneered by David Swensen at Yale, whose methods have been widely adopted, as you'll hear about in Chapter 2. What that means is the amount of resources our society currently invests in innovation is based on the percentage of assets that need to be invested according to this formula, rather than on the number of investable opportunities that exist. When too much money is chasing too few deals, there's only one possible result. Because we have too few entrepreneurs,